Imagine a world where children aren't treated as empty vessels to be filled with facts, but as whole persons with natural intelligence and curiosity. This is the revolutionary vision Charlotte Mason presented in her 1904 work, School Education, a vision that remains strikingly relevant today. While modern education often reduces children to test scores, Mason recognized their inherent dignity and capacity for meaningful engagement with the world. Her approach isn't about drilling information, but fostering relationships with nature, ideas, people, and ultimately with deeper understanding. In an age where children spend more time with screens than trees, Mason's emphasis on living books over textbooks and direct experience with nature offers a compelling alternative to our standardized, mechanistic approaches. Her methods have influenced countless educators and parents seeking a more humane, effective approach to learning, one that honors children's natural intelligence while guiding them toward intellectual and moral growth. At the heart of Mason's philosophy lies a nuanced understanding of the relationship between authority and docility. True authority differs fundamentally from autocracy. It's calm, consistent, and recognizes itself as commissioned rather than absolute. Autocratic parents anxiously watch for compliance, manipulating through rewards and punishments. In contrast, proper authority speaks once with quiet confidence, trusting the child to respond naturally from the relationship. Children naturally respond to authentic authority with docility, not blind obedience, but a willing receptivity that spares them constant decision-making. They appear more settled when boundaries are clear and consistent. As Mason puts it, the habit of prompt obedience is a relief and not a burden to children. This balance creates the secure framework within which children can develop, avoiding both authoritarianism and permissive indulgence, while fostering self-discipline and moral character. Have you ever noticed how hovering over children often backfires? Mason's concept of masterly inactivity, a wise letting alone, might be her most countercultural yet profound contribution to modern parenting. This isn't neglect, but deliberate restraint born of confidence in children's capabilities. Our increased sense of parental responsibility represents moral progress, Mason acknowledges, yet often manifests as anxiety. Many parents develop what she calls a fussy, restless habit of constant intervention, believing they must orchestrate every moment of their children's development. Masterly inactivity requires genuine presence without interference, leisure that allows children space to grow, and faith in both children and natural processes. It means resisting the urge to solve every problem or smooth every path. When a child struggles with a difficult puzzle, the anxious parent jumps in at the first sign of frustration. The parent practicing masterly inactivity remains present but restrained, offering encouragement while allowing the child to work through challenges independently. Children deserve freedom in their play, Mason writes, not the organized games adults often impose, but genuine spontaneous play that springs from their own initiative. This respect extends to all aspects of children's lives. They need to stand or fall by their own efforts rather than being constantly propped up. Consider today's childhood: structured activities, parent-arranged playdates, and tightly scheduled time. Mason offers a refreshing alternative: step back and allow children freedom to explore their world, form their own relationships, and develop their own interests. Have you ever watched a child's eyes light up when discovering something fascinating? That moment captures what Mason calls education as the science of relations, helping children establish meaningful relationships with the world around them. Mason shares a story of a 7-year-old girl handling an oar and noting how crab water was tough enough to knock her off her seat. Though scientifically imprecise, she was gathering experiential knowledge about water resistance, far better than merely memorizing facts. Mason advocates introducing children to living books written by authors passionate about their subjects. Through these books, children form relationships with great minds. Direct experience with nature, art, music, and handicrafts establishes connections that enrich understanding. The right books sustain the life of thought and kindle enthusiasm in children, Mason argues, distinguishing between living books that engage the imagination and the twaddle of simplified textbooks that present diluted information. A living book connects with a young reader's mind because it speaks to them as one intelligence to another. We consistently underestimate children's intellectual capabilities. They hunger for knowledge presented in books offering vitalizing ideas rather than dry facts. Mason's approach transforms the teacher from information dispenser to relationship facilitator between children and knowledge. Rather than lecturing, the teacher introduces children to books, then steps back, allowing direct engagement with authors' ideas. Children narrate what they've learned in their own words, helping them internalize the material. This contrasts with practices where textbooks present simplified information without the passion that makes subjects come alive. When teachers constantly explain concepts, they deprive children of the opportunity to wrestle with ideas themselves. Mason treats children as capable thinkers who can engage directly with challenging ideas. Reading from passionate historians helps children develop both knowledge and enthusiasm, forming relationships with ideas that transform their worldview. Education becomes about helping children establish meaningful connections with humanity's knowledge inheritance. A child who develops these relationships approaches learning as a joy rather than a chore, fueled by natural curiosity. Education is an atmosphere, a discipline, a life. This three-part formula captures the essential elements of Mason's educational approach. Atmosphere refers to the physical and cultural environment where education occurs. Mason cautions against over-reliance on environment alone, warning that children raised solely on atmosphere develop inanition, poor curiosity, attention, and effort. Discipline involves forming good intellectual and moral habits that structure learning and living. Focusing exclusively here risks producing abnormal developments, individuals with narrow excellence but limited broader understanding. Life represents the vital ideas that nourish mind and spirit. All three elements must work in harmony, unified by the principle that education is the science of relations, helping children establish meaningful connections with the world, ideas, people, and deeper truths. In our digital age of information overload, Mason's vision speaks with remarkable clarity. Her emphasis on living books offers an alternative to shallow engagement with information, helping children develop wisdom, the ability to discern what matters and why. Her concept of masterly inactivity provides a corrective to anxiety-driven modern parenting, encouraging us to step back and allow children space to grow into their unique selves. Mason's integrated approach challenges the fragmentation of contemporary education by treating physical, intellectual, and moral development as interconnected aspects of the whole person. As we navigate educational challenges of the 21st century, Mason offers not a rigid system, but a living philosophy adaptable to changing circumstances. Her vision invites us to reconsider what truly matters in forming young minds, honoring the full humanity of every child and nurturing their natural capacity for meaningful engagement with the world. Isn't this the education we all wish we'd had, and the one our children deserve?